U.S. credit card debt hits record $1.33 trillion as balances pile up. U.S. consumers are carrying more credit card debt than ever recorded. According to a report shared by WatcherGuru on May 9, 2026, total U.S. credit card balances have reached an all-time high of $133 trillion, extending a multi-quarter trend of rising revolving debt as households absorb persistent inflation and elevated borrowing costs. The figure lands at a moment when crypto markets are quietly stabilizing. As of May 9, 2026, BTC trades around $80,380, up 0.9% on the day. ETH sits at $2,312, up 1.4%. And the Fear and Greed Index reads neutral at 50. The contrast is hard to miss. Balance sheets in traditional consumer credit keep getting heavier, while crypto risk sentiment is, for once, quiet. A new ceiling for revolving debt. The $1.33 trillion print is not a one-off spike. It caps several quarters of steady growth in revolving consumer credit, with average balances per cardholder also climbing. Annual percentage rates on most U.S. credit cards remain above 20%, meaning that any portion of that $133 trillion not paid off in full each month is generating interest charges at rates well above mortgage debt, auto loans, or student loans. For households carrying balances, the math is simple and unforgiving. A $5,000 balance at a 22% APR costs roughly $1,100 a year in interest alone if the balance does not move. Multiply that across the country, and credit card interest becomes one of the largest non-mortgage line items in the consumer economy. Pricing against crypto cards. Most U.S.-issued crypto cards are debit or prepaid products, not revolving credit lines. That distinction matters more in a $133 trillion environment than it did in cheaper money years. A debit-style card funded from a stablecoin or fiat balance cannot accumulate APR charges because there is no borrowed balance to charge interest on. The cost is paid up front in conversion spreads, network fees, and any monthly subscription, not in compounding interest after the fact. That trade-off has its own catches. Pre-authorization merchants like gas pumps, hotels, and rental car desks sometimes decline prepaid cards because of how holds are handled. Conversion spreads at point of sale can run 0.5% to 0.9% on top of the disclosed FX fee. And stablecoin spending only sidesteps APR risk if users are funding the card from balances they already hold, not from credit drawn elsewhere. There's also a small but growing set of credit-style crypto products. The Gemini credit card and the Coinbase One credit card both operate as actual revolving lines, with APRs in the same range as mainstream issuers. Reaching for crypto rewards on a credit product does not insulate the cardholder from the broader $133 trillion problem. It just changes who issues the statement. The reward math changes at 22% APR, a 2% cashback rewards rate looks generous in a vacuum. Run that same 2% against a 22% APR carried balance, and the rewards are erased roughly 10 times over by interest charges. This is the part of the credit card economy that does not get advertised. Rewards programs are economically meaningful only for cardholders who pay in full every month. For the cohort of U.S. consumers contributing to the new $133 trillion total, points and cashback are largely a distraction. The dominant cost is interest, not the absence of perks. Switching to a debit-funded card, whether a no-annual-fee crypto product or a traditional bank debit card, changes the cost structure in a way that no rewards rate on a revolving line can match. Implications for card issuers. A record balance pile is good for issuer revenue in the short term and risky for issuer balance sheets in the medium term. Delinquency and charge-off rates have ticked up across most major U.S. issuers over the last year, and another quarter of balance growth without wage growth to match would extend that trend. Crypto-native issuers face a different set of pressures. Most of them rely on interchange and conversion margin, not interest income, which insulates them from delinquency risk, but also caps their per-card economics. That dynamic explains why so many crypto card programs lean on token-based rewards or staking tiers to compete with traditional cashback offers.